Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking from First Baptist Church. I'd like to invite all listeners to visit our website at www.gncm.ca. That's www.gncm, short for Good News Christian Ministries, .ca. And there you can sign up for a regular monthly devotional written by the founder of this program, Reverend Alan Churchill. Well, today's message is entitled Seize the Day. And I don't know about you, but I want to know how to seize each day. And we're going to look at that shortly. I'd like to first read from James chapter 4, verse 13, and then we'll pause for some music. James 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. So then, if you know the good you ought to do and don't do it, you sin. Friends, in a moment, we're going to talk about how to seize the day, but let's begin by listening to that classic hymn, I Believe.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. Yes, I believe. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why. I believe.
This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking, and we're looking at how to seize the day. And we're going to look at how to move from a spirit of self-sufficiency to utter God dependency. Let me say that again. We're going to move from self-sufficiency to God dependency. In the words of Rick Warren, I'd rather limp through life depending on the Spirit than run through life in my own strength. We're going to learn today how to depend on the Spirit and seize the day. And specifically, we're going to look at James chapter 4 to learn how to do it. Now, the equation I want to teach you today goes like this. Big God plus small me equals planning with humility. Let me say that again. A big God plus a small me results in planning with humility. In James 4, we see three principles that flesh out this equation. First, don't plan the wrong way. Second, God has the final say. And third, always seize the day. Let's look first at don't plan the wrong way. In verse 13 of James 4, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there and do business and make money. Well, this passage refers to three kinds of merchants at the time of James. There were the old Hellenistic mariners who never left the sea, and they shipped and sold cargo from one port to the next. Another type of businessmen were the caravan traders who used camels, wagons, and horses and mules to bring and sell goods from one city to the next. Third possibility were the local shopkeepers who traveled abroad to find goods and merchandise for their stores. James is writing to businessmen such as these three groups, and he's pointing out the audacity and the arrogance of their claim that they will, today or tomorrow, go to such and such a town and make a profit. Do you notice that there's no mention of God in their statement? It's all about them. Friends, they are planning the wrong way because really what they have is a small God and a big me. But what we want to learn today is to have a big God and a small me, so that we plan with humility. Well, these gentlemen in verse 13 are planning to go off in their own strength and their own wisdom and go make a profit, and they don't even mention God. Well, this is a timeless message and warning to us. Are you thinking of marriage? Are you thinking of university? Are you thinking of a career change? Or are you thinking of retirement, and have you possibly planned it all out without even consulting God, without even talking to the creator of the universe? There's a problem with this method, friends. First of all, we are finite beings. Verse 14a says that, yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. We are finite, and we tend to forget that we are mere human beings who have a limited time on earth. Solomon warned in Proverbs 27, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let me share with you a couple of funny stories of people who planned to their heart's content and learned very quickly that they weren't in control of their fate after all. First of all, there was an Iraqi terrorist named Kay Ranajet, and he didn't pay enough postage on a letter bomb. It actually came back with the phrase return to sender stamped right on it. Forgetting it was a bomb, he opened it and he was blown to bits. Well, that's an example of someone whose best laid plans came to ruin. Let me give another example. Two animal rights protesters were protesting at the cruelty of sending pigs to a slaughterhouse in Born, Germany, when suddenly all 2,000 pigs broke loose, escaped through a broken fence, and stampeded the men to death. These men had plans, but they were futile because these men were finite. And I'll give you one more example. A man was discovered recently, unfortunately killed, and lying in a burnt-out forest wearing a scuba gear. And you may say, how on earth can that be possible? Well, it turns out that this man set out one morning to go scuba diving and put on his scuba gear, and he was swimming in the ocean when along came an airplane to pick up water to put out the fire in the nearby California forest fire. Turns out they scooped him up by accident and actually dropped him with the water bomb. Well, one minute he's swimming in the ocean with his best laid plans, and the next moment, tragically, he's killed. These are examples of how we are finite beings, and so we had better be careful how we plan. Verse 16 says, "As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." Friends, when we plan, we had better not boast in our own arrogance, but rather to boast in the Lord. As Galatians 6 says, "May I never boast except in the cross of Christ." We're not only finite, we're also fleeting. And verse 14b says this. It says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." I like how the Message puts it. "You're a wisp of fog catching a brief bit of sun, and then you disappear." Well, friends, like mist or fog, we humans, we are uncertain, we are transient, and we are temporary. Isaiah 40 calls us grass which withers and flowers that fall. Hosea refers to us like chaff swirling from a threshing floor or like smoke escaping through a window. D.L. Moody learned the hard way that we're not just finite, we're also fleeting. Back on Sunday night, October 8th, 1871, he preached a message about the importance of accepting Jesus Christ into our hearts. What he then did was give his parishioners one full week to think about it and come back with their answers. What he didn't realize was that day, the great Chicago fire would claim the lives of many in his church. And he vowed that day never again to give people a full week to make up their mind. And that applies to us this morning, by the way. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to beg you to make that decision this hour. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but now. Okay, we're going to have a break now, and we're going to listen to a beautiful song called Above All. And when we come back, we're going to move on to our second lesson on seizing the day.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucify, lay behind.
Welcome back. Today we're looking at seizing the day. And we just listened and learned about how to plan the wrong way. Now I want to talk about how God always has the final say. In verse 15 of James 4, it says, "You ought to say, when planning, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that." Or as the Message translation puts it, "Make it a habit to say, if the Master wills it, and we're still alive, we'll do this or that." Friends, notice how the subject of this verse is now the Lord. Earlier, we saw that the businessmen were planning in their own strength, and they were the subject of the sentence, but we're learning today to move from self-sufficiency to God-dependency. And we're learning that a big God plus a small me allows us to plan with humility. Well, there's a false meaning or a wrong interpretation of this verse 15 that I just read. Sometimes people think that it just means barring catastrophe. You know, there's this southern expression, "Lord willing, in the creek don't rise." That just means, in everyday language, barring catastrophe. But really, verse 15 is saying, if the Lord actually wills it, meaning he's in total control of our lives. It means he truly is sovereign. Listen to Isaiah 46, which reinforces this profound truth. He says, "I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." And Lamentations 3 says, "Who has spoken and it came to pass unless the Lord has commanded it?" You see that really when we say if the Lord wills it, we're acknowledging the reality that he's in full control, not us. I want you to take a breath right now. Breathe deeply. Pause. Let's breathe together. Job 12:10 says, "In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." That breath you just took, that was a gift from God. And Psalm 139 says that every day you live has been ordained and written in God's book of life. And so we need to acknowledge that God always has the final say when we're making our plans. What this means, according to Proverbs 16, is to man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply. Proverbs 19 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that ultimately prevails." And so what this really means when we plan, in the words of Thomas A. Kempe, is that man proposes, but God disposes. Let me say that again. Man proposes, but God disposes. Friends, don't plan the wrong way. And remember that God always has the final say. And now let's wrap up this message by looking at our third important principle, and that is, when we plan, to seize the day. We need to seize the day. The question that arises is, should we even plan at all? I mean, after all, we've learned that we are finite as humans, and we are fleeting, and we've learned that God always has the final say anyway. Well, the answer is yes, we should still plan. Winston Churchill says, "It is better to have an ambitious plan than none at all." So it's not wrong to plan, it's just how to plan in a godly fashion. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills." And in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, "I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits." Do you see how the Apostle Paul understands the principle that we have a big God and a small me, and so we need to plan always with humility? Proper planning acknowledges that God is in control, and it's done in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And so here are some practical principles for you and for me when we plan out our lives, be it our summer vacation, be it our retirement, be it our marriage. First of all, I want to invite you today to give your entire future to God and just to let Him do with it as He wishes. We're very good at coming to God with our past, and we come to Him with our present. But my sense as a pastor is that we cling to our future, and we have a little more difficulty giving that up. Today, hand it over to Him with open hands. The other thing, when you're planning, is not to get bogged down in too many details. I want to encourage you to have what's called a firm center but soft edges. What this does is it allows room for God to change your plans slightly. It allows space for the Holy Spirit to breathe into your plans and to shape them ever so gently. And so plan, yes, and plan with godly principles at the core and keep that core firm, based on godly, biblical principles, but keep the edges soft. Another principle is allow time into your planning for God to work. When we plan, sometimes we plan with a very rushed schedule. But the Bible tells us again and again to wait upon the Lord. And so make sure you allow enough time for your plans to materialize, because God works according to a different time frame than us. And generally speaking, it's a much slower time frame. Lastly, I want to encourage you to pray as if everything depended upon God, and then work as if everything depended upon you. And what that means is, of course, to work very, very hard, but then finally to pray and hand it all over to God. And we're going to do that in a moment. I'm going to close first, though, with a principle from Jonathan Edwards, who at age 21 penned these wonderful resolutions, and I think they reflect very well how to seize the day. His resolution number 5 was, be it resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Resolution number 6, be it resolved to live with all my might while I do live. And resolution number 17, be it resolved that I will live as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. Friends, that is planning God's way, and that is seizing the day. And so today we learned by looking at James 4, don't plan the wrong way. God always has the final say, and make sure you seize the day. Will you join me in our closing prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, which reminds us that You are God and we are not, that You are big and we are small, that You are infinite while we are finite, that You are perfect while we are imperfect, that You are eternal whereas we are temporary. And we thank You for that reminder because, well, frankly, Lord, it's good for us to be reminded. And it can allow us to sigh, a sigh of relief that not everything depends on us, that You're in control and You are sovereign, and in Your perfect timing, You will work all things out for good for those who love You. I pray for each listener today that they won't plan the wrong way, but instead they will remember that You have the final say. And so they will seize each day and remember always to say, if the Lord wills it. We thank You, God, for each day, each breath, and each heartbeat. May we use them for Your glory. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.